All right, welcome back to Cave Talk. I'm your host, Jordy Oberg, and I'm sitting here with actually one of the special guests of the cave. He has been probably, you actually live closer to the cave than me.
I do. I live right across the road from the cave.
We have Jasper Blake, Ironman champion. What year? 2006?
Yeah, 2006.
I got it down. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Did my homework.
Did your research. Good.
Jasper Blake is also, you started playing hockey a few years ago.
I did. I came right off of, I retired from my Ironman racing career, and I literally went right to the hockey store, bought all the gear, and jumped on a team. I had one of my best friends had a team in the beer league thing here in Victoria, and he was really the catalyst to get me going, and dragged me to the hockey store. I dropped about $700 and never looked back.
And you've fallen in love.
Fell in love, yeah. And I was that guy at the beginning, right? All new equipment. You can tell guys who don't actually play,
right? Because
they have all the new equipment,
and their skating ability is a little subpar.
Totally. I kind of skated growing up. I was a downhill skier growing up, and we spent time kind of, you know, doing dry land training, if you want to call it that. We'd skate a little bit, but never played hockey. And I remember, I'll never forget my first shift in beer league, because I've watched hockey on TV all the time, but when you're out there, it's a little different. I had no clue where I was supposed to stand on the
face-off. Did anyone yell at you?
Oh yeah, I got yelled at because so we were in our end doing a face-off in our end.
Okay.
And like in my head, I was like, well, I want to be like the fast break guy. So I was on the face-off. I was up with the winger, because I was like, oh, if the puck comes out, then I'll get through. So I was like way offside, right? Yeah, you can understand where I was. I had no idea.
Were you a plus minus on that shift? Do you remember?
I can't remember. No. I do remember, I think, getting a goal in my first game, but I kind of think the universe is like that, right? Like, yeah. It's sort of like, we'll throw a bone to you so it keeps you hooked.
Well,
you
know? I had... So I'm a goalie, but I had the opposite experience. Well, I guess for me as a goalie, it was kind of like a trial by fire. Mine was a 2-on-1 or 2-on-0. Guys passed over to a one timer. My chest protector broke.
Yeah.
The strap came off and it folded out. And I took a one timer, probably it must have been like my fifth shot ever. One timer to the ribs.
Oh.
Remember lying on the couch with an ice pack on there being like, I don't know if I can do this. I spent all the money on like a used set of gear. It was pretty expensive. And so anyways, I knew it from that point on. I had to be protected and went and spent good money on a good chest protector. And then same thing, fell in love. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
funny how it you know, made me realize pretty quick you needed good gear as a goalie. But so training for an Ironman, there's, you know, I can't even imagine where to start. Like, how do you start training as an Ironman, and the skills you've learned, what skills are most transferable as a hockey player? Is it running, or would you find the swimming skills or like endurance of that part? Is there any skills that really are transferable when you went from being an Ironman champion to a beer league hockey player?
Yeah, we basically, the main skill you get is that you start looking better and better as everybody else gets tired.
Yeah.
That's about the only skill we have.
You're playing the 60-minute game when some guys are playing a couple shifts.
Totally. And the shorter the benches are, you know, beer league, sometimes the 11 o'clock games are pretty thin, you know, especially with the other team. That's about the only skill that's transferable. But no, I mean, you do come obviously out of Ironman training with a heck of a lot of fitness. But the fitness is very different. Hockey's very explosive. It's short, hard intervals, and then you take a rest, and then do short, hard intervals and take a rest. So, I mean, I remember my first few games, I was pretty gassed. But if you understand physiology, and really basically, you know, the more robust your aerobic system is, usually the quicker you recover from those short bursts.
Makes sense.
So, you know, as an Ironman athlete, your ability to kind of utilize oxygen and recover from those little short sprints was really good. So I would be totally gassed like anybody would after a shift.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm on the bench and within 5 or 10 seconds, I'm good to go again.
Well, and you must also know like your highs and lows of like your body. You must know your body really well when you're going for like an endurance event that is like Ironman, of like, okay, yeah, I'm hitting that wall, or like I've got to recuperate or, you know, come off quickly. Totally. I think in beer league, we see a lot of those guys who stay on way too long and then you know,
yeah, that's guys. Me.
Yeah. But see, this is the thing, you can because you got the endurance.
Well, yeah,
the
and you know what, your tolerance for that kind of discomfort is very high.
Right.
So I, you know, I can be 3, 4, 5 minutes into a shift, which sometimes happens, right? Like I've played games where there's one or two guys on the bench,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you're just taking like a 5 or 10 minute shift. Quite happily, because you know you'll look up to go off and somebody else is going off,
mm-hmm.
and those are my favorite games, to be honest. Part of it's that I'm a little bit hyper. Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story about how I used to warm up, but I used to get a little nervous for my first games because it was new territory for mm-hmm. me. So I was you know, total rookie to the sport in general, and you know, a lot of guys that play know what they're doing. And I would be a little nervous before games. I mean, it's beer league. There's nothing to be nervous about, but I'd be a little nervous because I didn't want to be
that, you know, brand new person.
Yeah, I didn't want to be the guy that totally sucked on our team. So I'd be a little bit nervous, and I'd find like usually my first few shifts were a little bit shaky because I had some nerves. So in the warm up, I started a new strategy where I wouldn't even touch the puck. I would just skate as hard as I could for 5 minutes because you usually get 5 minutes.
So you would just go in a circle as hard as
I would
go.
Everybody'd be laughing, and I would skate until I was exhausted. 5 minutes is a long time, but I would skate as hard as I could around in circles for 5 minutes. I'd totally gas myself, and it would like force me to calm down. So there you go.
Two questions. Do you still do that to this day?
No, I don't. I've settled down a little bit more. I sort of like, you know, I've been playing for 6 years now, so I, you know, I've got some mad skills. Well, now. I'm like on the slow track to the NHL. I'm 44.
Yeah.
If there's any scouts out there.
Did you get drafted this summer?
No, but I'm holding my breath.
Yeah, me too. I didn't call anybody.
Yeah,
I got so Jasper and I actually play against each other and have played against each other a few times. The reason I asked if you still that today, but I'm going to ask you a favor. Next time we play against each other, can you give me a demo of that warm-up?
Please. Look down the ice when you're in your net warming up.
No, I'm coming to center. I'm standing there. Yeah. I'm just going to watch you down.
Oh, yeah. I'm like a dog that just got let out of the car. I would sprint. I would go as hard as I could for 5 minutes. I would totally gas myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just calm down.
Yeah.
You know, I would calm down.
I feel like it's that performance anxiety that I feel like as like students have before a test, or you know, you get really nervous about something, you've got that. And I think that's just a great way to kind of let the steam out of the kettle so it doesn't boil over.
Yeah.
So I think you touched on a nerve that fits a lot of people that have deterred them. I know of a few friends of mine who've always wanted to play hockey, but as an adult, they never wanted to be that person that looked brand new, falling on their face, that anxiety of people looking at them being the worst on the team, when realistically nobody cares. Like now that you've been like you play with brand new players probably a lot at times, and you never once rag on them. You know?
No. God.
So what advice would you give to somebody who's listening to this podcast that has never played hockey, loves the game, has a mind for it, really into it, but has never really, doesn't really have the courage to get out there and try?
Yeah. It's hands down the best game. If I could play hockey every day, I'd play hockey every day.
Me too.
I mean, I put all my competitive juices into it, you know, after racing, but I just love how it feels. I want to win those, you know, fun games, but it doesn't really matter. I like just being out there. So I think, you know, if you're a little nervous or whatever, just know that it's like you kind of got to go back to when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are the best. Kids just jump into anything. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't know if they're good or bad at something. So you gotta rehash, you know, your journey as a kid. We sort of grow out of that willingness to dive into things we're afraid of, mm-hmm. and just try. And I think, you know, the thing I've found with hockey is it just like, I don't miss hockey now. Like, I don't care if it's 11 at night. It's like my non-negotiable part of the week.
Right.
With my family. And I think if you just give it a chance, you'll realize how fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I always find the anticipation of something is usually worse than the thing itself.
I agree. That was what I was thinking is like, it's worse in your head than what it's like perceived for other people. I remember when I first time went out to like drop in hockey was at UVic, and I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to let in every goal and these guys are going to be like worst goalie ever. Or like they make these comments and stuff. And then I realized after doing this enough and really putting myself out there, none of these guys reamed on me. If anything, they thanked me.
Totally.
So much. Like they would rather shoot on a goalie where every goal goes in than no goalie at all.
Totally. Yeah,
and once I got to realize that, like when I go to those things and like see a player who's brand new, I never once go home or text my buddies after and being like, oh, I had this like brand new guy. He was awful. Like what a bender or whatever it may be. And once I started to realize that people don't actually do that, it was all in my mind, and I made it up worse than it was. So I guess kind of what you can take from that, if you're listening, get out there, try it. You will thank yourself in about a year, 6 months to a year, when you're playing on a team and, you know, you're doing warm-ups like Jasper.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Just, if you need a demo of that warm-up, I'm sure Jordy will put a little
I think we should put that. Hey, I'll take that when I'm at center. I'll take a video. Yeah.
The Jasper Blake nervous warm up. No, but you're
It'll go viral.
Totally. I don't know about that. But you're so right. I think it's.
Is that the sorry to interrupt? But is that the same for Ironman too?
No. Actually, there's a little rule of thumb. Here's a good one for you. The longer the race, so for Ironman, there's not much of a warm up.
Mm-hmm.
The longer the race, really, the less you need to warm up. The shorter the event, the more they warm up. So if you're a 100 meter sprinter, they're warming up pretty aggressively for a long time. Whereas Ironman, I mean, the pace isn't really that high, generally speaking. I mean, we still go pretty fast, but it's not so high that you can't just sort of jump in there. And usually race morning for Ironman, you're pretty nervous and your energy's high anyway. So we do a little warm up, you know, definitely for the swim if you have 5 or 10 minutes before we get in and warm up, but it's not that aggressive. Although we, you know, there's some activation that's always good to do so that when you start, you don't want that race pace to feel awful, which it can. I mean, there's a real purpose to warm up. So, you know, as events get, you know, shorter and shorter. So if you're a 5-10K running event, I mean, the pace is very aggressive off the start on those. So your warm up better be good. And you know, for NHL hockey players, if you watch them, they do a couple warm-ups. I mean, they're out for like a proper warm-up, and then they clean the ice, and then they come out and do another little warm-up before
they stand there for the national anthem.
That's right.
And all like the face-off, ceremony face-off.
Yeah, but that's also good too. Like, you know, with a warm-up, you want to do some more aggressive stuff, wake up your body, wake up your nervous system. And then before the actual event starts, you usually want kind of 2 to 5 minutes where you're kind of recovering from the warm-up,
if makes
you want
sense
to call it that. So anyway, so you can see when the NHLers do it, you know, they're probably at the rink way before, right?
Yeah,
doing stuff, way, you know, playing soccer in the hallway, and you know, they're pretty deliberate about that, because when it's go time, I mean, those games don't start slow and build. It's like out of the gate,
it's a 100-meter sprint
type thing.
each shift
totally.
So both Ironman, or like doing triathlons and hockey, have a common element: gear.
Mm-hmm.
So what is more fun to go out and shop for? Ironman gear, like a really nice bike, you know, like you guys got some crazy intense like track suits and like shoes and all that stuff, or hockey gear?
Yeah, well, for me right now, hockey gear, I go in there, I like pick up all the gloves, I look at the shin pads. I'm such a nerd, I flex every stick.
Yeah, and
you know, I'm that guy.
And you were that guy when you came to the cave a little while ago with your new stick that your Ken was going to cut for you, or Landon cut for you.
Yeah.
You were using a base stick, right? That's what your whole profile was set up.
Yeah.
That night you were using it, you spent probably like half hour, 45 minutes shooting on the tiles with it.
Yeah.
How did that play out? Was that good?
It was pretty good. It's a different blade.
That was a big thing for you, right?
Blade. Yeah. So it was a little different, like stick handling and stuff, but that's eventually what I ended up ordering. And I like that company because they can custom make them, so the lie
base hockey
is good for a little short dude. So but that's how nerdy I get with this stuff, you know. I'm new enough to it that I fully admit that I'm like,
so were you like that with, we're like very particular to like the getting the exact lie for your blade for beer league hockey? Were you that particular in like your bike, you know, the aerodynamics of whatever?
Totally.
Totally,
because we were coming at it from a profession, so you know, the goal was to make a living, and so you got to take care of every detail, and it was fun, you know, getting your equipment, you know, supplies, and you know, fortunately we were getting most of our stuff for free. You know, for most of it you're working with different companies on a sponsorship level, and but yeah, it was like exciting when you got that box in the mail with your new gear. And bikes, certainly, I mean, gosh, bikes have like gone skyrocketing price wise they're the same as a car now. They're like little rocket ships. They're full carbon fiber, and even the wheel sets are super pricey. So you know, the people we work with, I have a coaching company now for triathlon, and the people we work with there,
which is what,
it's B78 Coaching,
right?
Yep. And the people we work with, you know, the majority of them, that's fun for them to go shopping for a new bike or their wheel set. Oh, I mean, they totally, they nerd out with that stuff the same way I nerd out with my hockey gear.
Perfect.
And they're, you know, there's no shame, you know, that's like their that's their hobby.
Oh, like, no, I'm like that same thing with goalie gear now starting to play out the same type of stuff. It's so much, maybe it's just a goalie thing. I hear you sound like you have the general mentality of a goalie. Cause goalies I've known and heard from like sports stores that goalies come in and they know a lot about the product before they come in, where some players will come in and learn from the staff.
Yeah.
Have you ever played goal?
No. Are you kidding?
Are you going to try?
I don't know. I think I'd flinch too much. I think you have to be a non-flincher.
You do.
Like, even if I'm like having to even remotely block a shot, the first thing that goes through my head is like, this is beer league.
Is this worth it?
Don't get hurt. It's not worth it. I'm such a wimp.
I tell the guys on my team, we the first season, a whole bunch when we started a team, we had a guy who was pretty much brand new, same thing, and he turned to block a shot.
Oh, and yeah. See, I do that. That's my process. Bad.
Oh, you got to turn.
I know. My reaction is
to turn.
To turn. Yeah.
So he took it in the back of the leg, fully bruised. I think I have a photo on my phone or somewhere. Anyways, he comes back and after shows the next game, and I'm like, just so you know, it was going wide.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, totally.
So
totally.
I did that to make a point. Because, like, there's no point in blocking the shots. This is a beer league. You know, get out. Like, you can if you're going to be really competitive. But I tell my guys, I'd rather just see it.
Totally. And that's what I do. And I pretend when I'm out there that I'm being smart by letting the goalie see it.
Yeah, that's
so
your
I
excuse.
Just, I'm right. Like, if someone's winding up, especially if it's a big dude from the point who knows how to play.
You probably won't even throw your base hockey stick in front of him.
Are you kidding? No, those are expensive. No. I, like, kind of, like, skate out of the way. And in my head, I tell, to make myself feel better, I say, I'm just letting the goalie see this one.
No,
and
it's
the
great.
Goalie will thank me later. Yeah, no, but the truth be told is that I just really don't want to take that thing in the...
Fair enough. It hurts.
Yeah.
Well, first off, thank you for spending time with us here on Cave Talk. If you guys do want to go check out, if you are into Ironman or you want to get a running coach, cycling coach, and swimming coach or
triathlon.
Yep. Check out B78.is, correct?
Yep.
And contact them on, they're on all the channels, social media. If you guys have any issue with that, contact us at the Cave. You might see him on some of our Insta story lives when he comes over. Is this your first podcast ever?
This is my first podcast. I've been on a couple other podcasts.
Well, you're an Ironman champion.
Yeah, for that kind of stuff. But this is, I don't do them much. This is my first one with the Cave. So
How'd it go?
I think it went well. I think it went just about as well as how I play beer league hockey.
Oh, no. I don't, that doesn't give me
confidence. No. It went just as well as how I warm
should I have
up
given you a six
hockey.
6 minutes warm up here
in
the kitchen?
Yeah, totally.
All right, Jasper, thanks so much, guys. Go check out B78.is if you need anything triathlon. And we'll see you next time from the Ultimate Hockey Fan Cave.